Life Church. Man, what a good looking crowd of folks. A rowdy bunch this morning. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Now, little ones, we are about to release you to your classes. One thing I want you guys to remember, as you cross the thoroughfare over there, be very vigilant. You never know if someone's going to whip through here, through the parking lot. So make sure you look both ways. Very safely, go over to your classes. And don't go digging through people's cars. Everybody, turn to Philippians 4. We're in our continuing study, verse-by-verse study of Philippians 4. I sure hope you're enjoying it. I'm enjoying studying and going through it with you. Matter of fact, I sure am glad to do life with you guys. I was thinking about that the other day, that it's a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be able to share this Christian journey with all you guys. It's just a wonderful blessing. So Philippians 4, 6 and 7 is where we're going to be at today. How can I say that? These two verses right here, we have went over them so much throughout the years of me preaching here that we could almost just rush through it. We probably know these verses by heart, but there's no way we're skipping over this stuff. This stuff is so important. If you haven't learned it, we're going to learn it together. If it's old hat, well, goodness gracious, I'm just glad you're here with us. But whatever your situation is with these two verses, guys, we need to apply this to our life. So what we're talking about today is peace. We're talking about peace, and Lord, don't we need peace. Amen? So it's not lost to me, you know, when I'm preparing these sermons, I think about the people that are in this congregation. And I think about, you know, who might be listening around the world or whatever. But my main focus is on this group of folks right here. And I know about a lot of the things that you guys are going through. And I'm not making light of these situations. And God's certainly not making light of these situations, these trials and these crazy things that you have been through. But God says, you can have peace, okay? You can have peace. We can have peace. And I know some of you guys have just had crazy years. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but there are people in here that have really been through it. Okay, so having said that, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, let's read this together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that's Philippians 4, 6 and 7. That is a promise that the good Lord is giving his people. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that today, because this promise of peace, it's not for the unbeliever. This is for someone that belongs to Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful blessing that God has for his people. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your anointing, and thank you so much that your will is going to be done in this service, Lord. We ask for your guidance, and what needs to be said will be said, and what does not need to be said will not be said, Lord. But let us all leave here refreshed and excited, Lord, and knowing and receiving that peace that you have available for us. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So our text, it goes a little like this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, as I've stated before, right here, looking at the text, guys, zoom in on it. God gives us absolutely no wiggle room, man. Okay, he says, don't be anxious. Now, he's talking to Christian folks. He's talking to people that belong to him. And he says, you don't have to be anxious. So anxiety in the Greek translation of the Greek word for anxiety means like a dividing care or a divided mind, to where you got legitimate thoughts, you got good thoughts, but on the other side, you got negative stuff, you got bad stuff. In other words, no peace, man. No peace. Raise your hands if you love being anxious. Go ahead, raise your hands. Nobody wants to be anxious, okay? And this is, I don't know of another time in my lifetime where there was not more possibilities for someone to be kind of stressed out. You know, there's all this stuff going on, but don't forget, God's in control. Can I get a witness? Let's start with that. God is in control. Look at your neighbor and say, God's in control. Well, what about the election? God's in control. What about the COVID-19? God's in control. What about what the doctor said? God's in control. Can I get a witness? Seriously, man, let's magnify God. Let's look at God for who he is. And man, our problems, no matter how big they are pale in comparison with who our God is. God is, right? Tell the truth, shame the devil. Okay, moving forward. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So here's the cool thing right here is God's saying, I don't want my people to be stressed out. I don't want my people to be anxious. And he tells us exactly what to do, man. When I'm working for somebody, when I'm doing the gig, I'm doing the job, I want to know what's asked of me. I want to know what I'm going to have to do. You know what I mean? So this is a wonderful thing because God doesn't have to tell us anything. He can just say, hey, man, don't stress out. Just trust in me. Just trust in me. But he tells us exactly what to do so we don't have to be anxious. He says, what you're going to do here. Now, listen up, church people. This is Paul talking to the Philippians. He's saying, you take these cares. You take this stuff that is freaking you out, man. And remember, they were going through so much persecution. Paul was locked up. The Philippians were going through a lot of persecution. It wasn't a very popular time to be a Christian back then, kind of like it is right now, right? Okay, but see, here's the thing. God says, hey, pray to me. That's the vehicle you're going to use to get this to me. I want you to unload your burden to me. And he says, you're going to give it to me through prayer. You have this wonderful blessing. As Christians, we have a wonderful, wonderful blessing that sometimes we don't take advantage of. I mean, think about this. Think about it real fast. So there's this creator of the universe, right? And he loves us so much. And he says, don't be stressed out. Dalton, don't be anxious, man. He says, you have access to my throne room. You have access to the throne room of heaven, to the creator of the universe, the sovereign God. We can talk to him anytime we want to. So the Apostle Paul is saying, guys, don't neglect the prayer thing. Pray to the Lord. And he says, supplication. The scripture even tells us what kind of prayer to pray. So what's a prayer of supplication? There's all types of different prayers. A prayer of supplication is basically this. The easy way for me to think about it is a prayer of supplication is the person that is praying. Listen, the person that is praying is asking for something. So basically, I'm praying for myself. God, I need this. God, please help. And a lot of times, how many of you have ever heard this? Have you ever heard this? My grandma or somebody said we're not supposed to pray for ourselves. Have y'all ever heard that? Nobody? I've heard that a lot, man. I don't know what it is, man, but a lot of kids I grew up with, they're like, I don't know what their grandmas were feeding them, but they're all like, I heard we ain't supposed to pray for ourselves. Somebody else is supposed to pray for us. Well, we're certainly supposed to pray for other people. But God definitely wants us to pray for ourselves. You know, I mean, what in the world is that business? So anyways, a prayer of supplication. It's me standing in the need of prayer. It's me saying, God, I feel overwhelmed, man. I am just super stressed out. But see, I'm taking my burden to God through prayer. Okay. And look at Psalm 5 and verse 8. Check that verse out. Psalms 5 and verse 8. It's right there on your monitor. So what I'm trying to point out here with this little verse is throughout all scripture, we see these prayers, a certain prayer, this prayer of supplication where somebody is saying, God, I am in need. And if you don't come through, it's not going to happen. And we don't like to be in those situations. I can't stand to be in those situations, you know, where there's nothing I can do about it. But see, the beautiful thing about it is when there's nothing I can do about it, I have a sovereign God. And Luke 1 verse 37 says, for nothing is impossible with him. There's a lot of things that I cannot do. There's a lot of things, man, I ain't got the knowledge. I ain't got the skills. I ain't that good at it. But, you know, I serve a God that can do all things. So anyways, I just pulled this one little verse out. I mean, you can go through all scripture where people are praying earnestly about something specific for themselves. Psalm 5 and verse 8. Lead me, this is David, by the way. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. What's David asking for? Saying, guide me, lead me, direct me, because I got a lot of people that mean to do me harm. And I don't know who I can trust in this world, but God, I know I can trust you. So he says, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. So David's saying, man, you know, I got a lot going on. I got a lot going on, and I need your guidance. I need this. So we got this thing going on. We're supposed to pray for ourselves. And see, we need peace. We need peace. We don't always have peace. We don't always accept the peace that God has for us. But see, the beautiful thing about this is in this text, God is saying, this right here is how you can be calm, cool, and collective in a world that's falling apart all around you. No matter what's going on, you can have peace. And we need it. So anyways, God expects us to ask him. Did you guys know that? God expects us to ask him for stuff. Look at James 4, 2. Okay, let me have a sip of this delicious water. James 4 and verse 2. This is James talking, obviously. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. So that's not really what we want to focus on right there. That's you just need to get your act together if you're talking about murdering somebody or something like that. Okay? And that's certainly worthy of a sermon, but this is what I want to focus on right now. Yeah. Matter of fact, never mind. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Okay, now look at this part. Look on the monitor. You do not have because you do not ask. So sometimes we don't have this petition. We don't have what we're asking for. It's out of our reach, so I can't get it on my own. But see, God says, you don't have it. You don't have this peace or you don't have this provision because you did not ask me for it. See, God wants us to be specific and God expects us to be in prayer. Amen. Can I get a witness? And that's kind of painful to think about, you know. But see, that's how God has set it up. He set it up. You asked me first, okay? You asked me. And, well, I thought God knows what I need before I even ask. He totally does. But see, God invites us to be part of this process. He says, you unload your burden to me. You give it to me, all right? Okay, so James 4 and verse 3, check this out. This is the next verse. You ask and do not receive. Okay, the last verse was like saying, you ain't got it because you ain't asking. So as Victory Life Church folk, we need to make sure that we're asking. Amen? Amen. Now, looky here. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. You ask and do not receive because you're asking for stuff that is not going to be good or profitable for your relationship with the Most High God. God's not interested in giving you something that is not going to bring you closer to him. Amen? But see, God says, hey, ask me. Be serious about what you ask me. Don't ask for stupid stuff, but ask me. Come to me. So when the verse says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, I'm praying for myself with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. God says, hey, you want peace in this world? You want peace in this world? It's going to start by you coming to me through prayer. Can I get a witness? All right, let's go to the next slide. How's everybody doing today? I'm doing wonderful as well. I'm doing very spiffy. Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now, that part right there, that's very easy for us to leave out. I don't have a problem asking God specifically for things for myself. You know what I mean? God, I need you to come through with this. I don't know what I'm going to do. If you don't make a way, I don't know what's going to happen. God, this is what I need. I don't have a problem with all that. But sometimes I forget to be thankful. And see, thankfulness is very much part of this right here. God wants us to be thankful. And see, like I said, man, I know that some of us have just been going through just crazy tormenting seasons. A lot of us have lost loved ones. Some of us can't find work. You know, fill in the blank. I know people are really struggling right now, and it's hard to focus on what to be thankful for. But God doesn't leave it out. God puts it in there. He says, hey, this is part of the process here. If you want peace, and we want peace, amen, and we need peace, God wants us to have peace. He says, don't leave this part out. I need you to be thankful. Okay, and sometimes, like I said, it's hard to be thankful. But see, God says, how about this? How about these apples? Look back in the past, okay, and see how I've been there for you. See how I've been there for you, how I brought you this far, and I've never let you down. Well, there was that one time. Well, hold on a second. That was me. That wasn't you. I'm sorry. You know, that was me. You know what I mean? It's like we have a million and one reasons to be thankful to God. And God says, be thankful, man. Be thankful to me. We have countless reasons. Okay, look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. Yeah, there it is right there. One reason to be thankful is as simple as this, Sister Rachel, Sister Courtney, Brother Paul, is God tells us to. God says, I want my people to be thankful. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances? Yeah. Okay, so God says, don't be anxious about nothing. Give everything to me through prayer. And he says, no matter what you're going through, be thankful. Man, that's crazy talk, ain't it? No, it's not crazy talk. God wouldn't ask us to do something if it wasn't possible through him to do it. Amen. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How about that? Listen to that. Listen to what I just said. Listen, this right here is God's will for your life. This is what God wants out of us. He says, I want my people to be thankful no matter what you're going through, to be thankful. Now, let me explain this a little bit. Not that it needs explaining, but here we are. You know, it's not, hey, thank the good Lord. Thank you so much that I got this bad news. And I got this horrible, devastating bad news. Thank you, Jesus, for this horrible, nasty news. You want me to keep saying it? No, not really, dude. Okay, it's not that, but there's always something I can be thankful for. You know, what about, okay, I just got this. I just got the big test results. I just failed the big test. You know, I just went to the doctor and I got some pretty rotten news, but it ain't the doctor's fault. It's my fault. But anywho, we'll talk about that later. Unless y'all want to talk about it, you want to know what's been going on with me? No, we don't want to talk about that. But so anywho, God says, I don't even know what we're talking. Give thanks in all circumstances. So I don't have to be thankful for the negative bad news I just got, but I can be thankful for the fact that, hey, my God's in control, man. My God's in control. My God is sovereign, okay? My God is sovereign. He's in control, and he is with me. Okay, so I'm not going to go through this journey. I'm not going to go through this next phase, whatever it is, all alone. I got God with me. I got the creator of the universe with me at my side, and he's faithful. He's never going to leave me or forsake me. In other words, God is good. So I can be thankful, man. I can be thankful. God is good. I'm not alone. And how about this? Oh, my goodness. Those are the cutest puppies I've ever seen, man. They are adorable. And they're affordable, and everybody gets one on their way out. Everybody gets one on their way out. Billy's going to hand you one. No, I'm playing. But we might want to work something like that in. No, okay, so Billy Joe, you just go put them in the people's cars, you know. Just go. It's the perfect time of the, never mind. Anyways, we better get moving here. We better get moving before the Baptists get to Taco Bell. There's nothing wrong with Baptists. So there's a lot that I can be thankful for. And when I'm having trouble, all I got to do is a little meandering through the good book. That's all I got to do. Because God says, I want you to have peace, man. I don't just want you to. I need you to have peace. Daddies, I need you to have peace. There's people counting on you. Mamas, I need you to have peace. There's people counting on you. So on and so forth. You get it. Little ones, I need you to have peace. Okay. Romans 8 and verse 31. Look, I do this all the time, man. I grab one of God's promises. And I just chew it up, man. I just think about it. There's a word I want to use, but I'll just say meditate on it. So I'll grab a promise and I'll chew it up. Romans 8 and verse 31. Check this out. What then shall we say? Listen, if you're hurting right now, or you're full of anxiety right now, or you're just tore up about your past, or you're so anxious about what might happen tomorrow, listen to what God says, man, okay? Because let God be true and every man a liar. Don't listen to the stupid, idiotic thoughts that Satan's throwing at you, man. Don't listen to that junk. Rebuke that mess, right? Okay, Romans 8 and verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? What things? Well, whatever, but check this out. If God is for us, who can be against us? Look at that, man. God is on our side, man. Okay, the sovereign God that we're talking about, the sovereign God, the creator of the universe, who sent his son to die for our sins, you know, who's done all these wonderful things for us and is not going to leave you or forsake you, he's in your back. I mean, he's got your back, right? Right? Isn't that what the people say now? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? Look at the next verse. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You ever think about that? Yeah. You see what's already been done for us and how much love God has given to us? You know, he loves us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for your sins and my sins. And so if he did that, if he's that committed to you, and the scripture says he's in your corner, okay, then we should be able to sleep a little easier at night. Can I get a witness? If God is for me, I don't care what the tax man said. We should do what the tax man said, but if God is for me, it don't matter who comes against me. It doesn't matter what the newsman's saying about me. Can I get a witness? All right, tell the truth, shame the devil. All right, I get excited. I get excited and I start to think. I was like, you know, I don't want to waste these nice people's time. I don't want to talk slow. I don't want to talk real slow. I want to talk really fast so they can get on with their day and go do whatever they want to do. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Man, what a wonderful promise. So I take these wonderful, awesome promises that are all through Scripture, Joshua 1:9, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, Psalm 106, verse 1, Luke 1, verse 37. You know, you grab these promises, and man, they're like flotation devices, man. You know, they keep me afloat. I'm not going to be discouraged because I'm standing on God's promises. Amen? So when the good book says, hey, Paulie, don't be anxious. Don't be stressed out. I don't want that for you. I love you. All right? Don't be a hot mess. Don't do that. That's what the kids say. They say hot mess. That's like worse than a cold mess and way worse than a lukewarm mess. So God says, don't be anxious. Give me the burden. Give it to me. All right? Look at Hebrews 13 in verse 15. Because, oh Lord, sometimes we do have to bring the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes we do just have to push through the pain and say, God, you are good. I don't understand what's going on. I don't really get what's going on in my world right now. But I do know this. I know that you are faithful. I know that you know what's best for me. And here we go. I know that you're going to hold me up through this as I go through the water, as I go through the storm. You're right there with me. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Pray without ceasing, be thankful in all situations. Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So here's the not only does God say, I want you to be thankful. When you pray to me, you be thankful. All right. Not just does he tell us to do that, but see, there's a blessing wrapped up in being obedient to God, like there always is. So when I'm thanking God or I'm appreciative to God for his faithfulness or whatever, guess what's happening? I'm getting my eyes off of myself, off of my pain for a moment and seeing how amazing God is and how good God is and how he can get me through this storm. Well, I don't know. I've never been in a mess like this before. I don't know. I've never had this type of torment before. Okay, well, look, God was faithful way back then. He's going to be faithful now. He didn't save your soul and bring you this far to leave you by the roadside. You know what I mean? Give the Lord some praise. Let's go to the next slide. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Got it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So I'm giving my burden to God. Verse 7. This is the cool thing. Because he's not saying, I'm going to absolutely, positively give you that thing you asked for. Maybe not at this moment. Maybe not never. Okay, but I'm going to do what's best for you. But this is the great trade-off here. You spend time with me, all right? You spend time with me, and this is what's going to happen. You're going to give me your burdens, and I'm going to give you peace. You're going to give me your burdens. I'm going to give you peace, and you're going to release it to me so I can do something with it. So I can fix this mess or whatever, or God can change my heart when I'm coming to him with thanksgiving. And God can change my heart to where I realize, I was kind of asking for the wrong thing there. You know, I say, God, your will be done. Right? That's what happens, man, when I go before the Lord. Can I get a witness? Amen. All right. So, and the peace of God. I like that. The peace of God. That surpasses all understanding. I have seen that in people's lives. I kid you not, I have experienced it in my own life. Where, you know, things were crazy, whatever. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know why, but I'm okay. Oh, yeah. You know what I do? I do. Hold the phone there. I do know why I'm all right. Because I've been giving this to God. And he's true to his word, man. So instead of being all just bent out of shape, you know, and we have ample opportunities to get bent out of shape over a multitude of things. But when I give it to God, he's true to his word. He will give me peace. What a wonderful thing, man. And we don't always take him up on that. But, you know, God's like saying like a, my babies, man. I don't want y'all to be stressed out. Give this to me. Okay. So look at Isaiah 26 and verse 3. I love it. I love it. I Clint love it. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace. There's that perfect peace again. That's the kind of peace I want, by the way. I want perfect peace. Because we can go back and forth, back and forth. Everybody wave their hands in their neighbor's face. Back and forth, back and forth. We can go back and forth, man. You know, that's the whole anxiety thing, a dividing care. My mind is split, man. I cannot get any peace, man. My mind will not shut down. Whatever. We can go, I got joy. Everything is awesome. God, you are so good. Oh, man, I got a nail in my tire. Now my world falls apart, man. Look at your neighbor and say, Isaiah 26. What's funny is some of y'all actually do that stuff. And that makes it worthwhile for me, really. There's a lot of you cats that are just too cool for school, and I get it. I wouldn't do it either. But then there's those beloved ones. I love you all. But then there's some of those cats, the people, that do that, and you're like, that's all right. Look at your neighbor and say, that's all right. Some of you did, some of you didn't. I don't blame you. Okay, what are we doing right now? Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Oh, wow. So what happens when I go to the Lord in prayer and I'm specific and I'm giving God my burden for myself? What happens when I go to the Lord in my prayer and I'm thankful, spending time with God? I got my focus on God. My mind is stayed on him and not all this craziness. You see what's going on here? All we got to do is keep our focus on him. And I'm not saying that's easy. I'm saying the more you do it, the easier it gets. And God won't let you down. Okay, you might have some crazy, just wild news, man, that you're dealing with. But hey, it's not bigger than God. And he says, this is the deal, man. Give it to me and I'll give you peace. It's a promise. Okay, and he don't lie. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Okay, 1 Peter 5:7 just mirrors perfectly what we're talking about today in Philippians. It's just kind of the cliff notes. It's real simple. It's like, well, it's just simple. I'm not going to make a joke. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him. Same thing. Don't be anxious about anything. Give all your burdens to God. Cast all of it to God. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. See, that's the whole thing right there. We're going through a tough time, and sometimes it's hard for us to imagine. God, do you care about me, God? You care about me? Because the people on the other side, the people sitting over there on that side of the church, they seem to have it all going on, man. They got the good life, man. You know, I don't get it. I think y'all are going to have to fight it out. I think that's what needs to happen. We'll figure this one out real fast. Well, never mind. And he was talking about fighting. Okay. We're not going back there. 1 Peter 5:7. I'll be in the car waiting. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. You are God's child, man. Okay, so this is real easy for us that are parents, you know. Okay, well, yeah, it's easier because we kind of get it. In other words, God is saying, you're my responsibility. You belong to me. You are my kids. Don't you think I got you? Don't you think I'm going to take care of you? So it's up to you. It's up to you, Polly, if you want to be stressed out in a knucklehead and being grumpy at everybody and all that. Or you can give your burdens to me, and I'll give you peace. Okay, moving forward. So Jesus weighs in on it, on this. I mean, this is all Jesus. This is all Holy Spirit. But John 14, verse 27, Jesus is talking about that perfect peace. And I sure want that perfect peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. See, over and over again this morning, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Always be thankful. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Like I have a say-so in this. Like I have a part to play in this. And I do, I give it to God. And he's going to take care of it. He's going to give me the peace. Amen? Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And man, I get it, dude. You know, I'm living in the same world you guys are living in. You know, it's crazy. But God is sovereign, man. God is sovereign, and he has my best interests at heart. You know, if the world falls apart all around me, I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if the good Lord calls me home? My goodness gracious, man. Christians, we don't lose. Man, that's the good part about it, you know. It's like it's a win-win for us. But as long as we're here, and I'm not looking to be a martyr or nothing like that, you know, but as long as we're here, we got a job to do. So God says, looky here, knucklehead. I mean, excuse me, I don't mean knucklehead. I was talking to myself. But, you know, God says, you got something to do, man. For the duration, while you're here, since you've been saved, man, you've been commissioned, you've been called into active duty, I got something for you to do. So it is very important that you, my little baby, my little child, that you have peace, that you're not stressed out. Because if you're all full of anxiety, you're going to be in the corner, you know, all just freaking out. You're going to be all just stressed out, not being a help to anybody. Okay? Yeah, let me back that up with scripture. All right, 1 Peter 4:19. There it is. It's the last verse. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will. They're all God's people. I'm asking. I'm just pushing you guys today. Okay. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will. We don't like that. That's a tough pill to swallow. That if you're going through it, God has had to sign off on it. You know what I mean? He's sovereign. He's in control. Nothing gets by him. He tells the ocean, okay, I need you to stop right here. Stop right there. All right? He tells the same thing to Satan. Now, that's as far as you're going right there. You know? Now, see, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator. That's what we've been talking about, you know, just giving it to God, giving it to God. I got a faithful creator who loves me with an undying love, and he has signed off on this. He is letting me go through this, or even if I'm dealing with the consequences of one of my stupid, selfish actions, you know, he's still going to be there with me. He's still going to help me. You know, I come to him with my supplication. God, you know, I really blew it this time around, and I'm serious. You know, God, I need your help. I can't fix this on my own. You don't think he's not going to be there? He's definitely going to be there. Okay, so therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator. Okay, I'm giving my burden to God. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I know he's faithful. Okay. And check this out. Look at the last tiny little three words in the verse. It says, while doing good. So God expects me to be about his business. You know, whether I'm on the mountaintop or the valley, no matter what I'm going through, God says, hey, I've called you by name. And I got some things I want you to do. So even though you're going through something, you best be letting your light shine. And this is what I'm going to do for you, okay? I know you got some real deal concerns, some real big heavy duty stuff. But he says, you give that to me. Give it to me and see what I'll do for you. I'll give you peace because I have need of you. I need you to be out there spreading the gospel. And I'll just throw this out there. One of the best ways to get over discouragement, despair, and even anxiety, man, is to go do something for somebody else. Sure enough. And it's my birthday this month, so I'm playing. It is my birthday. But anyways, let's finish up here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Some folks won't even understand why you are so peaceful. You won't even understand why you got so much peace. But did you remember, oh God, Jesus Christ, he said that he's going to leave his peace with me. And I've given him my burdens. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God's peace will guard me. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? That if I give it to God, he's going to give me peace, and his peace will run interference for me. His peace, man, nothing can destroy what God has commanded to do. Isn't that awesome? Does that make sense? If God says, I'm going to give you peace, and I do what he says, and I'm trusting in him, he is going to give me peace. And the more I do it, the more I trust in him, I can get all the bad news in the world, and I can still have peace because I know my God is faithful. Anyways, tell the truth, shame the devil. I love you guys so much, and I want us all to have peace. I want us all to have joy in these uncertain times. We got a God that is very faithful, and he will never leave us or forsake us. And he's going to take good care of us no matter what.